Oh, it offends me to the soul to hear a robustious, periwig-painted fellow tear a passion to tatters, to very rags, to split the ears of the groundlings, who for the most part are capable of nothing but inexplicable dumb shows and noise.
Well, Hammy, you better hang on to your bear bodkin, because you're going to hate this. It's John Malden, your host of the Inexplicable Dumb Show, starting now.
Hi, and welcome to episode 591 of the Inexplicable Dumb Show. I'm John Malden, and this week I go on location, secret location, to discuss a new work, a new play, with a relatively new theater company. So my guest this week in our secret location is Sam Lowry and Alex Drennan, and we're going to get into that conversation just after, you guessed it, these brief messages. Would you like to be a pal of the Inexplicable Dumb Show? Well, why don't you head on over to www.inexplicabledumbshow.com and look for the Hosting Donations Accepted button. Press that and make a donation and help the Dumb Show cover its web hosting fees. Your donation is greatly appreciated. Thank you for your support.
Hi, I am someone you will probably never meet. Yet I ask you to take time
to think about people you don't know but need your help. Children, some of them. And they don't all play, in the gutter, of course.
Well, maybe if it's called for.
These men, women, and yes, even the children are professional actors. They want and need your time, money, and support.
For just pennies a second, you can enjoy the fruits of their labor. Make sure they know you heard about them on the Inexplicable Dumb Show. They may look at you funny, but that doesn't matter. It's for the children.
It's for the children.
It's time once again for some deep fried theater!
All right, IDSers, I am joined by Alex Drennan and Sam Lowry, and we're in a secret location to discuss Woven Theater's upcoming, production of Alex's play, The Family Marcher. So, welcome, Alex. Welcome, Sam. How are you?
Thank you.
Good. Thank you very much
good,
for having
good.
Us.
Glad to be
awesome.
Here. Yeah.
This is so cool.
Yeah. Alex is just like grinning.
You're just grinning ear to ear. So cool.
Yeah.
So, hold your horses for just a second, Alex. So I'm going to start with Sam because give me the Reader's Digest version history of Woven Theater and your association with that entity.
So Woven Theater is a theater company that I started with two other close friends of mine, Larry Hearn and Kyle Odom, and it kind of came about 3 years ago. Laramie and I both independently decided that we wanted to direct shows in the summer following graduation, and we kind of shared this fact with each other and went, "Wait, what if we helped each other out? What if I helped you on your show and you helped me on my show and everything?" And we're like, "Okay, that's fine." Our friend Kyle, who apparently also had decided he wanted to do a show in the same summer, heard about that and sent us an email and was like, "Hi, can I get in on this? This sounds like a good idea." And so, our first season, was very much just kind of three shows that we helped each other out on, and then we survived miraculously and even managed to make a bit of money in the process. And so we got together, after that summer and went, "Well, I guess we have a theater company now." And then we developed it. We had another successful season last season, and we are midway about to open the second show of our third season right now. I'm talking.
Cool. And so your official designation title is
The thing that goes on the bottom of all of my emails is Woven Theater co-founder and artistic council member.
Artistic
Council. Yeah, so that came about when we were talking.
Do you have the tiki torches too?
Yes.
So you decide, yes, this play, not this play.
Yes.
Council has spoken.
They've got the black hoods too.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah, it's very Masonic.
Very Masonic.
But it was essentially we just got together and we went, we're not big enough. We're not, you know, all three of us are very passionate about this. And so it's just kind of, none of us wanted to be in charge of each other. Really? So we decided to call ourselves a council. Each of us has equal say as far as the content that we produce, the direction the company goes in. We all collaborated to write our mission statement to decide what things are important to us as a company. And then in that, we've also kind of divvied up and delegated responsibilities. So Kyle, while being an artistic council member, is also kind of the business manager. He handles most of the money and all of the budgets and finances for things. I handle a lot of the marketing and outreach kind of things to various other organizations and people, including my good friend here, Alex Drennan. And then Laramie handles a lot of like the development and kind of working with other theaters and artists in town. So
its history is kind of, you've kind of created yourself a niche sort of in the summer series. Is that something that you think that's where Woven's going to stay, or do you think Woven is going to expand as things go on?
The hope is that Woven will expand. We've mainly been limited to summer runs of shows. Just due to during kind of like the rest of the year, space, the availability of space is much more of an issue. We're very lucky to have access to spaces in which to rehearse and perform during the summer that we don't necessarily have access to in other parts of the year. But our hope is that in the near future we will be able to find spaces that we can perform and do things in.
But also, I mean, I love that you are here and in the summer and are doing something, because it gets pretty dead around here.
Yeah, no, I mean, the way that we've kind of thought about it and talked about it is that the summer will be the place for our main stage shows and our big productions. But we would like to be able to do smaller shows, readings, kind of one-offs, or maybe we've tossed around the idea of doing a night of one-acts or things like that, or one-acts or 10-minute plays or short stories or things like that, that we would be able to do to kind of keep ourselves active and keep ourselves active in the community year-round, but definitely focus on larger-scale productions still being done in the summer, because that's when we have the freedom to do that, as well as other people have the availability to be in said productions.
Now, this year's material is all original, correct?
Yes.
Now, is that new for this year, or is that kind of always been what you've done?
Yes and no. This is the first year where we made, going into this season, we had The Family Marcher and then the other show, Opus, were both shows that we had been working on and workshopping for a couple years now, and we knew that we wanted to do them, and so we decided, well, we've got two shows that are new works. What if we just focus on doing a whole season of new works? So we did that. We found another show that was a new work. It was not technically a world premiere like Opus and The Family Marcher are, but it had one off-Broadway premiere in New York the weekend before we opened our own production, so it was kind of a simultaneous premiere, so we're going to count it. Because, you know, who's really keeping... It's still a new show that hadn't been done before, especially in Nashville. And then we're ending our season with what we are calling The Loom, because why not? And it is a new work festival, so we have asked for various playwrights in town to submit shows to us. We've gone through the ones that we submitted, and we selected six of them, and then we've reached out to directors in town and given them the opportunity to direct to work on these new works with the playwrights. So we're very excited to kind of end with that, and we think that's a thing that we are going to continue to do. In years past, the past two seasons have both included a new work in them, but it was just by virtue of us having access to a new script and being like this script, we want to do it. It wasn't so purposeful as it was this season.
So, Alex, what is it like to have someone say, I want to do your script?
It feels pretty cool, I gotta say. I was definitely, we have been talking about this for a long time. We were talking about it for a stage reading last year, and some stuff went through with that. I've been working on workshopping the script and stuff. But it's a cool feeling, especially since it's the first show I've written. Like, it's cool to hear someone say, like, I want to do this, like, in Nashville, as part of, like, a new, you know, new work series, that sort of thing. It's a cool feeling. It's really cool to have your work, I guess, validated by that.
Okay.
I guess. Yeah. So, it's, yeah, it's a lot of fun. Yeah.
So what has been the challenge on actually going through the whole production part of this for you?
I wouldn't call it a challenge. I'd call it something that I didn't know I wasn't expecting, I guess.
Okay,
and it's sort of the thing of I have grown attached to these characters that I've written. I know a lot about them. And so the first table read we had, the first read through, a lot of the actors were coming up with their own things, which I was like, I was sort of taken aback because I was like, oh, I hadn't even thought of that.
Right.
You know, so it's been an interesting development, I guess, in that that's something that I wasn't really expecting to happen, was that that they would have so many cool ideas about the characters that I had. I thought I had like a pretty good hold on, I guess.
Uh-huh.
And seeing that sort of happen has been really awesome. Yeah.
So as a writer, are you a happy rewriter, or do rewrites bother you? Like, are you a nonstop, like, okay, and once you get the flow going and you're just writing, or is it like, oh, I gotta fix that scene?
I've thought a lot about this recently. I think, like, I've thought a lot about this. I think I am of the mind that I don't like to rewrite things unless it's, like, a major need. Mm. I think I have ideas in my head for years and years, and then something has to happen in my life to, and I build them in my head and everything, and then something has to happen in my life that I guess pushes me to write. And once that push happens, then writing is very easy to me.
Mm.
It just sort of all spills out onto the page. And
right.
then, and that sounds so pretentious, like onto the page. Spills onto the
page. So you're not the disciplined writer getting up at 7 o'clock in the morning
yeah.
writing 25 pages a day.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think one of my favorite writers says that like he has to write at least 10 pages a day or he doesn't feel fulfilled. And I feel like there are writing days and there are just not writing days.
Mm-hmm.
So you can wake up in the morning and be like, today's a writing day. I'm going to write as much as I want to write about it. You know, it can be a page, it can be two pages, but as long as like I know that today's a writing day, that's good for me.
Mm-hmm.
There are some days I wake up and I'm like, I don't really want to write today, you know, and that's completely fine. I feel like with art and writing, I feel like it has to come from a real honest place. And if you're not in that honest place, then why try to force it?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what, I don't open a can of worms here. What pushed you to write The Family Marcher?
What pushed me to write it? I think it had been in my head for about 4 or 5 years of a family that was estranged and there was a deep, dark secret between them. And then I came, I think the summer before my freshman year of college, I was really thinking about leaving my family, because I'm from Knoxville, Tennessee, which is only about 3 hours away, so it's not very far away, but that's definitely the furthest I'd been,
sure.
You know. Very much a homebody, I guess, in that sense. So I think I was thinking a lot about family and leaving that sort of life behind in order to find what college is like and what theater in college is like and seeing what kind of person I want to be and what I'm going to, you know, grow into. And then after freshman year, I came back home and I'd learned all this crazy stuff about myself. And then it was a very different energy than I had left.
Yeah.
Coming back is a very different energy that I was like, oh, the minute I walked in the door, I was like, ooh, this is.
You can never go home again.
It's very different. It's a very different feeling. Coming home after a year of, you know, being on your own sort of and learning, a lot about yourself in an academic setting, in a professional setting. So that's sort of what pushed me to write it was, I was like, oh, this is what this is. This is what it's about. It's about, a guy coming home where the energy's different and everything's off. And that's the moment that I, and then I sat down and I wrote it in 3 months and I was like, all right, I wrote it over the summer and then I came back and I was like, all right, this is what this is, you know.
So how did that get to your attention, Sam?
So, I imagine, so, we both, went to Belmont University here in Nashville, and one of the cool things that the department does is that as a senior directing major there, along with your senior thesis project that you work on, they also have you collaborate with the scriptwriting classes that are taught, and they essentially run their own very small New Works Festival, and so. This happened this winter of my junior year.
Yeah.
Yes. I did it.
No, I think it was your senior year because it was my sophomore year.
Yes, it was. It was the winter of my senior year. Yeah. We had a girl that was graduating that December, and so her last big project that she did was. To work on this New Works Festival, and you submitted.
I submitted to Jacqueline Judding, who runs the New Works stage reading Belmont Festival, and so I sent in the whole. I sent the whole thing in. It's like 140 pages, so I definitely was not expecting, you know, anything to come out of that. And then she emailed me and she's like, we're going to do a scene from it. You can pick what scene. This is the director who you're going to be working with. You get to help with casting and all that sort of stuff. And so I worked with that. I worked with that director on the end of Act One, which has gone through, you know, a little bit of changes. But definitely. And then we performed it as part of the Belmont New Works stage reading.
Yeah, and I was, you know, and I went and saw it. I remember sitting in the audience, seeing this and being very intrigued what I was seeing. I'm a big fan, just as an artist and just as a person, of these kinds of stories. I love Tennessee Williams, Arthur Miller does kind of the greats of this kind of style of show. I came up to you after the show. I was like, yeah. Hey, can you send me the whole script? Well, I think I first asked you if it was a whole thing or if it was just, or if you just had.
Yeah. You asked me, is this a finished product?
Yeah. That's
and I was like, yeah, it's definitely a finished product.
And he was like, I asked you to send it to me.
Yeah. And I was like, all right, sure.
And you sent it to me. And then I
144 pages later.
Yeah. And then I remember I got that email.
Yeah.
And I remember getting that email at like 11:30 at night. Like you see, I think you literally went.
I definitely went home. I went home immediately and sent it because.
Yeah, and I got this email late at night, and I was like, I don't really get. And then I just read it that night, and I loved it. And I think I sent you. I don't remember if I saw you in class or I sent you an email.
Yeah, it was something.
Some way I got in touch with you. I was like, all right, I want to talk to you about this because I was like, I love it, but.
Yeah.
And so then that kind of started off, and we talked off and on for about a year and a half until last summer with getting the script kind of the point that you and I were both happy with.
Right.
It went through some, not like major rewrites.
There were some
definitely some like some, you know, you and you wind up adding like three whole scenes to it. But yeah, and then we got it to a point where we were both very confident in it being kind of the whole picture that we wanted, and we started moving on doing the stage reading of it. And then after that, we decided that we wanted to do a more fully realized production of the show. And so then,
here we are.
And even then, we got, I think my favorite thing so far in this process has been we got through the first read through, and he came up to me during the break afterwards and we're like, I gotta write a whole nother scene. It was like the you being so affected by people giving life to these characters, I think. And it was very interesting to watch you as this, as kind of as you talked about, to watch you as the on the outside as you realized other people had different opinions about these characters. And it was just It was very interesting to see how it affected you, and also myself, because I also had grown very attached to these characters, but not in the same way. So, but yeah, that's how it came to me. So here we are.
So, if somebody wants to come see this, what do they need to do? How do they find out about Woven Theater?
Yeah, so Woven Theater. We have a website, woventheater.org, that has links to all of our calendar, that has links to all of our tickets and kind of all of the information about shows. It also has information about getting in touch with us if you're in the local area, about getting involved with shows. There's a whole bunch of contact us information, as well as information about past shows that we've done. And things like that. And then also you can go and like us on Facebook. We're Woven Theater Company on Facebook, and then also Woven Theater Company on Instagram.
So this will go live on Monday.
Cool.
Is Opus still running, or will it?
Yes. So Opus, the totally real, not made up story of a boy and his skeleton, written by the fantastic A.D. Timms, is the next show in the pipeline, and it opens tomorrow for those of us recording this, and it runs 2 weekends. So if this goes live on Monday,
you'll have one more week.
Yeah, there'll be one more weekend. It's running. Let me check. I want to say Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Holding music. No pressure.
Yeah, you know, I should know how to do this.
But
you
can edit all this out, maybe.
Maybe not. Maybe you can just leave this in.
I like to stare. I'm going to write a play about scatting now.
Yeah, all the dialogue is just scatting.
Yes, yes, exactly.
You're onto something here.
No one understands what it's about.
Except the characters.
I cannot pull this up. All right, I'm going to our website.
All right.
I think it is. I want to say it is.
I want to say it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
We could say that.
Yeah, it closes the 29th of July.
So there you go. You got till the 29th of July. Ticket information, we just went through that you heard us go through. Well, I'll have links to this on the show notes page for this particular episode at www.inexplicabledumbshow.com. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, this has been great.
If you love the Inexplicable Dumb Show as much as I do, don't be shy about it. Go ahead and wear your feelings on your sleeve, or at least your chest. Head on over to our Cafe Press store and wear your support for the IDS proudly. www.cafepress.com/dumbshow.
Alright, so that is it. I'd like to thank Sam Lowry and Alex Drennan for meeting me in our secret location to discuss what's going on with Woven Theater and Alex's play, The Family Marcher. Ticket information we discuss in the body of the podcast will be found on the show notes page for this particular episode at www.inexplicabledumbshow.com.
Hey, do you want to be part of the Dumb Show? Then please do so by calling the voicemail line at 615-866-1282. Or put your thoughts in an email, podcast@inexplicabledumbshow.com. Or follow the show on Twitter at InexplicableDS, at capital I, Inexplicable, capital D, capital S. Find out the latest comings and goings and whatnot for the show via our Twitter feed. So next week, we return with the third volume of our IDS Summer Rep series this year, The Topaz Flower. So until next week, this is John Malden saying, hey, I'll see ya. Bye.
Are you a music lover? Then let Magnatune dazzle you with how different we are from the rest of the music industry. Interesting independent artists in diverse genres. Perfect quality wave files in addition to MP3s and many other formats. Instant album downloads or traditional CDs by mail with free shipping. All this and half of every sale goes directly to the artist. So visit us now at magnatune.com. That's M-A-G-N-A-T-U-N-E. Magnatune. We are not evil.
This podcast is a member of the Blueberry Network. Blueberry. No E's. That's Blueberry, B-L-U-B-R-R-Y. .com. Blueberry.com.
Pop Alternative Media.